We don't know what's going to happen. It's a bit of an unknown, isn't it? And maybe there's some fear in us. Maybe we're hopeful. Maybe we're intrigued. Maybe you haven't really processed what you're thinking about, but maybe you're unsettled about it. But God speaks into such times as this, doesn't he? We are saying things like, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. The church is at least, maybe not the country, but maybe it's getting there. So what is he saying? He's speaking what he's saying. Now, I'm not going to talk about the politics at all, but a couple of weeks ago, I spent a few hours, spent all day Saturday and some of Sunday, looking at all the prophetic words, the things people think that God's saying for this year, for 2019. And so I listened to them, and it's really encouraging, isn't it, when somebody's saying something that you're thinking as well. So there were some new ideas for me, but some things that I had been thinking about. And that happens in the prophetic, doesn't it? There's always confirmations and people are saying the same sort of things. So I'm just going to mention a couple of things that came out from different people. Prophetic people are saying it's a perfect time at the moment for us to partner with God as people are feeling so fearful and without direction. And people are looking to us, or will look to us, for solutions and meaning. And God's also saying it's a time to really find our voice as church and to speak out. And that's a challenge, isn't it? And the other word that keeps coming up is boldness. Boldness. We need boldness. But the thing I'm going to talk about mostly is God says it's a new time. God is doing a new thing. And prophet after prophet have underlined this. And they've said things like, this time, new means new. We've probably all heard that sort of thing before. So a question to ask is, what's that going to look like? Well, maybe we don't know. It's out of our experience or frame of reference. That's the point, I guess, about it being new. So it's a good time for us to consider how this would apply to us, for us individually, and what we do as church. What's the new going to look like? It's good for us to be in prayer and to listen and sense what God's saying. And we've already had a big new shift with us having the prayer house. There's loads going on in the prayer house, and that's a brilliant place to start, isn't it? With that happening and what might come out of that. So he says we need to move forward into the new. And my question today, or one of my questions, is, are we ready? Where are we at with that statement about moving forward into the new? How do you feel about that? We've all heard it, and maybe we've got a little bit cynical in the past. We've had verses like this one: forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. I've heard that quite a few times, but is God really saying it really is a new time now? And if we do agree that we are going to move into a new time, how are we thinking and responding to that? He's speaking to us to get ready. How does that sit with you? Do you feel a little bit cynical still, or reluctant, or really up for it? Just a challenge. When you're about to go on holiday or you get a new job, you get ready, don't you? You get new clothes, maybe, if you're going on holiday. I talked about clothes last time. You get into a new mindset, perhaps, if you've got a new job. You get your thoughts in gear. You start focusing and doing a bit of preparation. You look to see where you go, where you could go if you're going on holiday, and you prepare. So there's usually some sort of excitement or anticipation, and possibly a desire to maximise the opportunity that lies ahead. So I believe that if we're ready and up for it and on our feet and expecting to go, expecting change, God will take us into the new. what if God wants to do radically new things? How does that feel to you? We don't know what they are yet, but just maybe to process your thoughts, could you cope? Are you, or do you think you could cope? Or would you feel a bit unsure about that? So I'm going to mention a situation that occurred with in the Old Testament with the Israelites, and it's found in Haggai and different places. It's the story of when Israel had been taken into captivity. So they'd lost everything, their land, their identity as a nation, and the temple had been ruined as well. And they returned from foreign lands. When they got back, they had to adapt and move into life again. And they had to take on what was there, what was life like around them. They started to try and settle in to build life again. But the temple, that was God's thing, God's presence, God important to God. The temple was in ruins. They'd lost the sense, however, of having this temple and weren't interested really in rebuilding the temple. Maybe they thought about it occasionally, about what God wanted, but that they were pretty resigned that the temple had gone, and maybe they thought there was no point. They were discouraged. And when you're discouraged, you just want to get through the days one at a time, don't you? It's a matter of going from one day to another and maybe stop seeking God's bigger plan. Also, when you've had a hard time, you tend to make excuses, don't you? You think, because I've had a hard time, I need to look after myself. God can't possibly want me to do X, Y, and Z. And maybe they thought a bit like that. But God sends one of the prophets, Haggai, to them, and he sends him to say, it's time. The people were a bit resigned and, as I say, interested in their own lives rather than God's purposes. So God says, give careful thought to your ways. You expected much, but it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Because of my house, which remains in a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. So it's in ruins. But the bit I want to look at particularly is, God says, I am with you. And in Haggai 1, it says, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and Joshua. I may as well read it out, it's easier, isn't it? So then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you. He stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole realm remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord, their God, on the 24th day. So the phrase I want us to get hold of, he stirred up the spirit of these people. It wasn't that they worked themselves up to something, and they didn't follow a self-improvement plan. It was by his spirit. A similar thing happened in Ezra. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. He actually was the one that God stirred up to let the people we've just been talking about, returned to Jerusalem. And in Ezra it says, everyone whose heart God had moved prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord. God stirred up the hearts of the same people and sent them back and to build the temple. That's really encouraging, isn't it, that God can not only stir our hearts but stir the hearts of people in the government and everything. And that's one thing we've been praying about, isn't it? So maybe the story mirrors what's happening in our nation, and we can see the church having lost its impact on society, and then perhaps in some ways we've settled and let the prevailing culture or the spirit of the age affect us. Maybe we can identify with complacency or settledness or preoccupation with our own affairs rather than God and his purposes. In the story, God moves, he speaks and stirs hearts, and he wants to speak into our lives today and stir us. That's what I think he wants to say to us today, to stir us. In terms of what he wants us to do, well, it's not about building a temple, is it? Or even an institution. But it's about building God's kingdom and tending to God's temple. We are his temple, aren't we? So, question again, what is he expecting from us? The key fact is that the Holy Spirit did the stirring. He doesn't stir up emotion. He stirs people to action. He puts desires in our hearts. It's not by might or power, but by my spirit, it says in Zechariah. And the Holy Spirit overwhelms things like apathy, lethargy, feeling of dormancy, being dormant, or going through the motions. And I believe he wants to disturb our lives today in the best way possible. We had a, sometimes at a life group, we have a time where we listen to music and we draw what we think God's saying to us or draw something that God's put on our hearts. And it's not exactly a Rembrandt or a Constable, but this was my little picture. And it's a picture, I felt it was of the Holy Spirit, and that's the whirlwind coming to disturb the surface. And the point with it is that it doesn't just disturb one thing, it has ripple effects all the way across the water. And just the thought that Holy Spirit, when he stirs us and moves us to action, it can have real effects on other people and more than we can possibly think. So the effects are multiplied. So he wants to infuse us with that spirit today, which gives passion. Are you lacking in passion today? Action, movement, inspiration, and motivation. That's the thing that we can't always drum up ourselves, motivation, especially if we're not feeling great. Motivation is hard to keep. Sometimes God really puts his finger on us and causes us to act or move in a way that we don't expect. About 20 years ago, I was it was during the Toronto blessing, and I am a very quiet sort of person, and I like to be cautious or often. And there was a meeting going on, and a lot of these meetings had very manifest things happening with the Holy Spirit. And so there was this meeting going to be going on in St. Mary's, and I was very apprehensive. I didn't know whether to go or not because it seemed a bit too much. I was a bit scared of the Holy Spirit and what might happen. But God really put it on my heart to go. He stirred in me something. I had to go there. And I went along, and I had at that time the most profound experience I've probably ever had with the Holy Spirit really filling me and feeling like electric and going through my body. And it did have affected me for months and months and months, and probably forever, actually. But the point is, God's Spirit stirred me to go and moved in my life. So sometimes when the Holy Spirit touches us, we have a spontaneous reaction, don't we? It's like a reflex when you have a hammer banged on your knee. He moves and it just causes us to do something. And we feel compelled to go. And that's part of how he moves. Sometimes when we hear the word of God, though, we tend to not act on what he's doing. We process it and we think, well, say we think we'll think about it, we'll see, we'll weigh it up, and sometimes it's lost. God speaks and it loses momentum, we don't get hold of it, and sometimes a spontaneous action is required. We can easily lose the forward momentum that the Holy Spirit is initiating by debating with ourselves whether we should do the thing that he's asking us to do. So he wants us to get ready for the new. He is getting us ready. He is stirring us. Are you ready to ask to be stirred and not shaken, like the James Bond thing, but the other way around? Are you ready to ask to be stirred out of the apathy or whatever's we find in our heart that maybe we don't want to be there? He is stirring our prayer life. We've had loads more people at prayer meetings, at church. He also wants to stir our worship. How much of the days do we worship? He wants to stir our callings, the things that God's put in our lives to do and to be. Some of them are dormant. He wants to stir those today. He wants to stir the gifts that he's put in us. I believe he wants to do that today. And it's true that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is moving inside us for the fulfillment of your destiny, destiny of the church, and the transformation of the world. I got a bit behind. In Isaiah 32, it paints a picture of a complacent people when the Israelites were very complacent, and what happened in society. It describes on the left, it's a forsakenness, a decay, and wasteland. And the bit is what happened on the right. It says, until the Spirit is poured on us from on high. After which there's fruitfulness, justice, righteousness, peace, security, all those things. But the key word there is until. Until the Holy Spirit comes and has access to our lives and we respond with a yes, things might remain the same. We do have the Holy Spirit in us, but there has to be a yes, an agreement, a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit for him to really work in and through us. So my next question is, what's stopping or could stop us from moving forward into the new? What does the Spirit need to stir out us out of? Maybe it's different for all of us. Maybe you have fear inside you. Fear makes us want to keep in control. Maybe there's fear of the unknown. I had that fear of the Holy Spirit before I went to that meeting. Fear we will lose something we like or think we need. So we tend to become self-absorbed, sorting our own stuff out, trying to be in control. But are we ready to trust God? I believe he wants to give us boldness today. Boldness overcomes fear, doesn't it? So if we feel fear in our hearts, we're going to ask for boldness in a little while. Courage, boldness to go, and courage for our lives. Perhaps another thing is that we're stuck in a rut. We can be stuck in a rut with what we do, our routines. Maybe we've settled into a norm. Some people like routine more than others. I believe he's freeing us from the routine of the old and giving us supernatural paths that we can follow. We can also be stuck in a place emotionally. Our emotions are linked to our thoughts, aren't they? So often we can get into a rut with our thoughts, thinking one thing, negative automatic thoughts they're called, and we just default to them, and that can affect our emotions. We can get stuck in depression or just feeling of having no motivation, energy, anything like that. We can have this wrong thinking and build these negative thought patterns that overtake our brains. But we can choose to stop and think and ask for help. And God wants to heal some of those things today. We're going to pray into that he will change those thought patterns, that he will reverse them. He will do something new, give us new thought patterns. So, are we ready for him to pull us out of the rut? Give us a new orientation or focus? Then perhaps it's comfort and complacency. Does anybody remember the Pink Floyd song, "Comfort, Comfortably Numb," from the 70s? Anybody? No, it's just the phrase I want you to get hold of. It doesn't matter. But my husband's been playing it loads around the house, and I felt God really say, oh, it's a challenge, are you comfortably numb? And the idea is in the song that people have been, I think it was about a child injecting to get rid of the pain, medically, not otherwise. But the idea that we can do things or put things into our lives or inject things that keep us happy, that numb the pain. So that was a thought. Are we a slave to our bodies? Are we addicted to things that feed that sense of comfort? Things that we depend upon, could be anything, drinking, relationships, things we do to feel comfortable. I was thinking when used to do a lot of hill walking, we used to go off in the car to the Highlands, and it was 2 or 3 hours, and we'd get in the car, and especially in winter, you would sink into the back seat, get really warm and nice and comfortable. You arrive at the bottom of a hill, and it was really, really, really hard to get out where it's cold. And you've got to go straight up a mountain. Really difficult. So I'm thinking of that sort of a feeling. But you knew in those instances that was the point of going, that you went up to the top of the hill. So you didn't let it stop you, did you? So just that sort of thing. Are we willing to give up our comfort blankets? There's a verse in Revelation about us, Jesus saying to the church that, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one way or the other. And that can be true of us too. So, we've had this verse a lot recently, haven't we? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. That's a word that has been spoken over the church and into the church at the moment, to get up and stand up. There's some sort of movement there. So fear, stuck in a rut, and perhaps we're just resigned. This is how my life is. This is how it is. But God is releasing a spirit of newness and innovation. He's bringing solutions into things in our lives. He's bringing restructuring, that sort of thing. And he wants to bring hope if there's a lack of expectation where we think, oh, it hasn't worked before. So, maybe we can't see the new, but that's the point, it's going to be new. How should we approach the new? Well, these are prophetic words as well that I've picked up. So one thought is that we should be travelling light. I really agree with this. When I was doing my research in the Highlands, I used to love just getting out of the car, and I literally just had a pair of boots, socks, shorts, t-shirt, map, and just strolled off into the hills. People might think that's a bit silly, but I used to do that if I knew the weather was all right, and it was really travelling light. But we need to travel light. What are the sort of things we need to get rid of? Because we might be like the picture on the left. Are we carrying lots of baggage and things that we really, really don't need for the time ahead? There are things like unforgiveness. Beatrice spoke about forgiveness a few weeks ago. Are we carrying unforgiveness around? Are we carrying sin around? Are we happy with our lives? And we know really that there's some sort of sin that really shouldn't be there. So this is a time to address that. What about our expectations? Are we carrying certain expectations for the future, which maybe God doesn't want us to have? Maybe they're not right ones. It's a question to ask him and to think about. And then some of us have rules about our lives. This must be in place in my life. And assumptions and hang-ups and perhaps wounds. We don't need to go forward with these wounds. We can detox and break things off and leave things like guilt behind. So I think God wants us to leave some stuff here today, get rid of things. It says in Hebrews, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. So travel light. The second thing that people are saying is don't look back. Don't look back. So it's not about doing life as usual, necessarily. And one phrase that stuck from one of the prophetic people was, remember Lot's wife. As you know, in Genesis, God led Lot and his family away from a city. And Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. So that's just an encouragement. Don't look back. Keep looking forward. It's also tempting to project what's happened in the past into the future. So perhaps not to do that as well. We need a mindset change. I had worked for a coffee with Pat in the week, and she had this mug. So I just thought I'd bring it. It says, you can't turn back the clock, but you can wind it up again. It says, forgetting what was behind and reaching for what is ahead, press on. And just a reminder that we're meant to go forward with what God says we're meant to go forward with. We're to carry our cross. And it does say in Luke, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So travel light, don't look back. And it's a time for following Jesus, sticking with the guide, step by step. The phrase that struck me from time to time is a radical obedience for the future. Are we being radically obedient to God, to his word, to what he's saying step by step? And do we have to resolve to do the will of God no matter what? We think we know best, but we need to listen and walk very closely with him. And be prepared to go off-road, to not follow the usual paths that we have for ourselves or with church. Are we prepared to go off-piste, as it were, to go, to think, to act out of the box? Are we prepared for the unexpected? To go to places we don't normally go to? do things we don't normally do. Perhaps not just revolving our lives around church, but going into secular organisations, going out into places where we wouldn't normally go. The Holy Spirit's doing things so differently, we can't rely on how we did things before. There will be new responsibilities and remits, and we haven't been this way before. So, how should we approach the new? I was thinking about sometimes when I used to go to Norway, it was up near the north of Norway, and we used to go where the glaciers are, and often there were huge tracts of lands that had been exposed because the glaciers had shrunk. And I always used to love the fact that nobody else had walked where I was walking. It was covered in ice before that. So going into the unknown and going somewhere where nobody's been before, I think God is going to do that with us as well. So I think we're going to just spend a few minutes praying into those things. Perhaps, can I get you to stand? And have a stretch. So, Father God, would you come, Holy Spirit, would you be among us now? And Lord, would you be at work in us as we think about going into the new? You're asking, are we ready? So we bring ourselves to you and we say, we want to be ready. We want you to get us into that place where you can be at work in us and use us. We want you to stir us, to stir our hearts. We want you to give us passion for Jesus, passion for your ways. We want you to stir us out of inactivity or lethargy. We want you to move us. We want you to give us inspiration and motivation. And Lord, where we have fear, I pray that you'd give us boldness. Holy Spirit, give us Holy Spirit boldness, courage to go to those places, do those things we need to do. And would you pull us out of any ruts we're in? Lord, I just want to pray over us all, over our thinking, that where there are negative or unhelpful thought patterns, Holy Spirit, you would come and change them, that you would give us new ways of thinking about things. Would you come in and change those patterns? We know you can do it. We can't do it ourselves. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come now. And Lord, would you nudge us out of those places where we're comfortably numb? Would you help us to overcome the things that pull us down, that stop us from doing stuff. Things that we've got as comfort blankets, dependencies, would you break them off us even now? And Lord, we give you the things that are in our hearts now, unforgiveness, wrong expectations, assumptions. We leave them here now. We want to give you them. We want to leave it here today. And we resolve to look forward and not look back, to follow you with radical obedience. Help us to stay close to you. Amen. So, do sit down. And if anybody